Alrighty, so unfortunately we're in the middle of not extremely difficult, but a bit of an intricate arithmetical calculation. That is, we're trying to figure out what is the amount of bread that is needed per week, right? So the Mishnah basically says that if you're supporting your wife through a third party, so you have to quantify the mezainis, so the shear is 2 kavim of wheat flour per week, and that will supply the requisite number of meals. Now, at least in the Hava Mina, we think that is 14 bread meals per week, which means we're actually not counting Shalosh Shittos, 2 meals a day for 7 days, because at least in the Hava Mina, we're going with the idea that Suda Shalishas could be fulfilled by fruit or something else. So we're going 14.
And definitely not like Chitke, who holds 4 meals.
That's correct, that's correct. We'll talk about that, right. But in fact, so right now we're calculating a cheshbon of 2 meals a week, including Shabbos. So now our kasha is that we have 2 mandiamrim. There are actually 4 opinions about the shear of a ruve techumin, which is mazon beis sudas. The first 2 opinions don't really give you a quantity. They just say it's the 2 meals you eat on Shabbos, and the other one says it's 2 meals you eat b'chol. And both of them are being makil, because one person says you eat less bread on Shabbos because of more foods, other foods, and the other says you eat more bread on Shabbos because Shabbos you eat more. But when we get to the 2 mandiamrim that quantify it, we have Rav Yochanan ben Breika, and we have Rabbi Shimon. Now Rav Yochanan ben Breika says that the amount of bread you need for Ruvei Chaseiras is the amount of bread you could buy with a punjain when you can buy 4 sa'in for a selah. Now, a punjain is 1/48 of a selah. 1/48. Now, 4 sa', let's convert it to the smaller measure of kav. A sa'ah is 6 kavim. So 4 sa'ah is 24 kavim. Right? So when 24 kabim are purchased with a selah, the amount of bread that is mazon shtei sudas is that which you buy with 1/48 of that apunjin. So that's going to be a half a kav. Right? A half a kav, because that's 1/48. So according to that, a half a kav is 2 meals, meaning a fourth of a kav is 1 meal. So the question is, that if you give her 2 kavim, only gives you 8 meals, right? So our Mishnah cannot go like, this is the question, it cannot go like Rav Yochanan ben Broka, because our Mishnah seems to say that 2 kavim cover 14 meals, when, according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, 2 kavim only cover 8 meals. Okay, that's going to be the kasha. Now, Rabbi Shimon gives an easier formula, but it's much less food. He doesn't correlate it to market, to price. He just gives you a direct quantity. Shtei yadais lekikar, mishalosh kikros lekav. 2/3 of a loaf when 3 loaves equal a single kav. So, if 3 loaves are a kav of bread, 1 loaf is 1/3 of a kav. 2/3 of 1/3 is 2/9, right? 2/9. So according to him, the meal is 1/9 of a kav, because 2/9 is 2 sudas. So according to him, 2 kavim will give you 18 meals. So mimanavshach, our Mishnah does not go like either opinion. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, our Mishnah is too little because it only gives you 8 meals instead of 14 meals. According to Rabbi Shimon, our Mishnah is too much because our Mishnah gives you 18 meals and all you need is 14 meals. It's interesting. This is a very big difference in the amount of bread that's called a meal. The difference between 1/4 of a kav and 2/9 and 1/9 of a kav. That is a major difference. That's less than. That's more than half. 50% less. So Rabbi Shimon must have been whatever. He had a very severe carbohydrate diet. No carbohydrates. Okay. Now we'll come to this, but in the meantime, we then take fractions, and this is according to everybody, whatever it is. Chesia, whatever your share of 2 meals is, take half of it, and that's the share of 1 meal. And that's going to be significant, right? So again, for a Ruvei Techumen, the share is two meals. Chetzia, half of that, the share of one meal is Nogea, the din of Beis Hamanuga. Beis Hamanuga means a house that has leprosy, right? The Torah says not only a person could have Tzaras, but even a bias could have Tzaras, and eventually may have to destroy the house. Now, the Gemara, there is a Gemara that says, Lo Hayo Velo Nivra, it never happened, but theoretically it could happen. Now, what is the din of Beis Hamanuga? When you walk into a leprous house, the same way a mace is matame, bi'ayel, I'm in the same room as a mace, I become tame if I walk into a bayis hamenuga. It's like an avi avos hatuma. However, there's a gezeras hakosov that even though I become tame right away, the clothing that I wear does not become tame unless I was in the house for a certain duration. This is called shihia. And the duration is the amount of time it would take to eat a single meal. Now that'll depend. According to Rabbi Shimon, that'll be a smaller amount, so actually it'll be less time. This is where the smaller meal will be a chumrah. So half of the share of two meals is the share of shehiya for Beis HaMenugah. Chatsi chetzia, half of that, which means the share of half of one meal, is nogeya lipso Es Hagavia. Okay, here's a dinger abundant. Do'oraisa, a person can become tamei only if he touches an avatuma, a primary source of a mace, a sheretz, a mevela. Now, ochlin and mashkin, food and drink, can never be an avatuma. Food and drink can become a rishon latuma. If a nevela, even if it touches a mace, it only becomes a rishon latuma. So do'oraisa, if I'm a kohen or even not a kohen, if I touch ochlin tameim, I am not Tamei at all. Ochlin can make other Ochlin Tamei. You can have Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, but Ochlin and Mashkin cannot be Metamei and Adam. But the Rabbanan made a Gezerah, if you eat Ochlin or Mashkin that are Tameiim, you, if you're a Kohen, you cannot eat Truma until you go to the Mikveh. Now you don't have to wait until nightfall. Unlike a real Truma, where I'd have to wait until night, for Ochlin and Mashkin, I just have to go to the mikveh and I can eat right away. But the shear is half of one meal. In other words, right, the chatsi chatsi is the shear of to pasul your body, givia your body from truma. And finally, chatsi chatsi chatsi, half of that is the shear of how little a quantity you need to be makabel tuma. Meaning an ochel is only makabel tuma. Actually, we pass into Shir Beya, but this is a different computation. But it's a very small amount. And actually, many Rishonim learn.
What about liquids? The liquids, though, do Midr Rabbanan do carry the top of Kalim or something?
Yeah, but not a person. A Tamei liquid cannot be Metamei a person by Maga. It could only be Metamei a person by ingestion. And that is a special Tumah Rabbanan, which is removed by simply going to the mikveh.
Immediately.
Yeah, there's no Harif Shemesh at all. That's unique, because when a person becomes Tameh, well, it depends. If he's a Tameh Meis, he's Tameh for 7 days. But even if he is Tameh Tomas Nevela, he's Tameh for 1 day, and he cannot eat Truma or Kachim till he goes to the mikveh, and he has Harif Shemesh. But this tuma, this is called Tumas Basic. This is actually one of the, this is a famous set of Gezeros. This is one of the Yud Ches Dovah, right? These were the 18, right? The 18 Gezeros that Beishami and Basil were fighting about, and they locked the attic, and they took a vote, and these were one of the 18 things that they answered. Okay. All right. Now, the Gemara now goes back to our Mishnah. Mani, who does our Mishnah go like? E Rabbi Yechanan ben Breika, it cannot go like Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, because according to him, two kavim only gives you 8 meals. So obviously, two kavim would be insufficient for the woman's needs. The Rabbi Shimon, and if our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon, then you're giving the woman too much, because according to Rabbi Shimon's lesser standard of a meal, whatever the logic of that is, Tamni Sare Havien, you're going to have 18 meals, right? So I'm either giving the woman too much or too little. So who could the Mishnah go like? Now, we could always say there's some third Tana and figure it out, you know, divide two Kavim by 14, but the problem is that there is no such explicit Mandiyamar, and the Gemara very rarely wants to simply invent a third opinion from a Mishnah. We want to trace Rav Yehuda Nasi's Hachra'ot to some pre-existing authorities that we have, and we don't have such an authority. So now the Gemara says the following idea. The Ilam Rav Yochanan ben Baraika. We can go like Rav Yochanan ben Baraika. Now the problem is, according to Rav Yochanan ben Baraika, if you're buying four saw for a sela, that means a punjin is a half a cow. So the answer is no. Kita Amar Rav Chista, Sami Yem Shlish Lechemi. Okay, let me just explain this outside a little bit. That is, there is the wholesale price and there's the retail price. The way you read it is this. It's when the baker buys four saw for a sela, how much bread would he sell to the to you with the punjin? And here's the cheshbon. The cheshbon is the storekeeper, the baker, gets a compensation of a third for his labor. So now let's figure this out. If I'm the baker and it cost me a sela for four sa'in, so inachinami, I bought a half a cow for a punjin. But just because I bought a half a cow for a punjin doesn't mean I'm going to sell you a half cow for a punjin. If I sold you a half cow for a punjin, I would make no profit at all. So essentially, I will only sell you two-thirds of the amount of wheat that I got. So let's take it down to the retail level. So I as the chenveni, essentially got a half a cow for a punjin. Okay? But I'm going to take off a third when I resell it to you. So therefore, you're not going to get a half a cow. You're only going to get two-thirds of half a cow. So two-thirds of half a cow is only one-third of a cow. So it turns out that on the retail level, it is one-third of a cow that's a share of two meals. Now, if one-third of a cow is a share of two meals, then multiply that by six, because you have two kavim. So instead of eight meals, you will actually get 12 meals. So according to Rabbi Shimon, once you factor in that the chenveni will reduce what he sells, again,
but you need 14 meals.
Everyone's going to ask. You're close but no cigar, meaning we're approaching it. We're not quite there. Now, we would describe it a little differently. I mean, we would describe it as a markup. The Gemara is doing the same thing, but instead of describing it as a markup, it says he sells less wheat. It's just another way of saying it.
Bakery near the shuk, they blow it up.
Okay, that's right. In other words, so the woman is not going to get a half a kav. Not the woman, the buyer. The buyer is not going to get a half a kav for a punjin. He'll only get a third of a kav. And that is the shear of two sudas, which gets you up to 12 meals in two kavim. So the Gemara says, well, you're close, but that's not quite it yet.
A third is the maximum that he can go any place, any...
Yeah, maybe he's more generous, but what we're saying is that the computation is based on the maximum, meaning the definition of mazon shtei sudos is based on maximum markup. But then the Gemara says, but even if you do that, akati tarti sori havien, that gets you up to 12 meals out of two kavim, but you need at least 14 meals, even if you factor out sudas shalishas. So the Gemara says, well, we can take care of one more meal, because the Mishnah mentions Ocheles Imai Lele Shabbos. It mentions that Friday night they eat together, so the assumption is that's not included. You know, the husband brings the food for everybody. So when the Mishnah gives you a shear for the meals, those are for the meals that they don't eat together. So as a result, you have 12, because that's still one short, right? It's 12 plus the meal that he brings to eat together. But the Gemara says that's a machlokas. There's a machlokas. What does it mean, Ocheles Imai Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos? Ha'nicha l'man di'omer achila mamish. There is a man di'omer that says they must eat their meal together. Ela l'man di'omer achila tashmish. According to another man di'omer, achila is a euphemism. It is a polite term for Tashmish Amita and the Kiyam of Aina, and the husband does not have to have a meal with his wife, Eibazai, you have to give her 14 meals, so you're still 2 meals short. Michael, remember the oath. And even if you say you've taken care of one of the meals, so you're still one short, Talesar Havyan, it is only 13 meals, and you need 14 meals. So the Gemara says, well, we have another statement of a markup that allows a markup as much as 50%. Of course, the problem is it's the same on the Amr, the Gemara will ask it. Ela kedama Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, say mehem machsa lechen v'ni. Hachanami asya palga v'shada alayim. Now, let's work with machsa, because again, at the wholesale level, he gets a half a kav for a punjin, but he's going to resell only 50% of that. So now you're down to a fourth of a kav. So a fourth of a kav are 2 meals. So in 2 kavim, you have 16 meals. Okay? In other words, if the markup is now 50%, you get 16 meals out of it. So first of all, the Gemara has a parenthetical question, because Rav Chista said both markups. Rav Chista said a markup of a third, and Rav Chista said a markup of a half. Which is it? This is parenthetical. Kasha to Rav Chista and Rav Chista. So low kasha. Ha biyasra de yavit sivi. Ha biyasra de lo yavit sivi. In other words, people would bring... See, the bakers in those days were not like today. You actually brought the flour to the baker, and he baked a product. So sometimes you had to supply the wood. So if you brought your own wood, brought your own fuel, the markup was a third. If he had to supply the fuel, the markup was a half. Okay, but be it as it may, we're therefore saying that if when Rav Yochanan ben Breka was computing the meal, he was going with the maximum markup of the people who don't supply their wood, then it turns out you have 16 meals, because essentially if he's buying it, he will buy a half a kav for a punjin, but he will only sell a quarter of a kav for a punjin, and a quarter of a kav is 2 meals, therefore 1 meal is an eighth of a kav, and therefore 2 kavim gives you 16 meals. So now you see how we've doubled it basically. So instead of 2 kavim supplying 8 meals, we now have a cheshbon that 2 kavim could supply 16 meals if you calculate it based on the markup. So the Gemara says, well, that's great, but now you've made it too much. Hi-hachi shisari havyen. So now we're chayzer. Number one, we're going to count suda shalishis. And not only will we count suda shalishis, but we'll go like Rav Chitka. Rav Chitka, we don't pass like Rav Chitka, who says on Shabbos you're supposed to have 4 meals. So let's see. So for the 6 days of the week, it's 2 meals. That's 12. And Shabbos is 4 meals, that gives you 16. Come on, Kirav Chitkez, Yamar, Arba, Sudais, Chayev, Adam, Lechov. Actually, this is actually a kasha, meaning, are you basing your calculation on Rav Chitke that says you have to have 4 meals? That's very schwer. It's very difficult that Rav Yehuda HaNasi would give a shear that is only true like Rav Chitke, because we do not paskin like Rav Chitke.
But even if you say 6 during the week,
yeah,
that's that 12th meal is Friday night.
Yeah, that's correct. But what the Gemara is doing is, that was an approach as well, but the Gemara said there's a machlokas, if ocheles means achila or tashmish. And the Gemara is asking, if it means tashmish, then there is no Friday night meal, and therefore that has to be included in what he's supplying. Meaning, the Gemara is trying to give an answer like the view that Ocheles is Tashmish.
Right, but if you say 12 and another 4 to make 16,
that's correct.
Then you're counting the meal Friday night.
Yes,
twice.
You are. No.
Because it's the second meal of Friday.
The second meal of Friday, and the first
of Shabbos.
Right. You know, you're asking, what is the point of the... Well, 1 second though. So it depends how you count the 2 meals. Maybe, because if you start from the night, meaning instead of saying morning and night, let's do night and morning. So Sunday's meal is Molava Malka. Sunday's meal is Motzei Shabbos Sunday. Monday's meal is, right? So Friday's meal will be Thursday night, Friday. And then you have the four meals for Shabbos.
Well, how are you going to get that fourth meal on Shabbos?
Well, you squeeze it in. I don't know. I mean, this is not Lava Malka. I mean, this is an extra meal.
It's camping Lava Malka.
No, you're right. Lava Malka is the next week. So.
No, it's very similar. It's the Kiddush after Davening.
Yeah. Obviously, Rav Chisda squeezes in an extra meal Shabbos afternoon. Yeah, okay. Listen, okay.
He has a pusik for it.
He has a pusik. And now, on a short Shabbos, it's very difficult to imagine. But yeah. Yeah, but that's why you're not counting it twice, because, the Suda Friday is Thursday night and Friday. So now the Gemara says, well, 16 meals is helpful, is necessary, even if you hold you have three meals on Shabbos. And the Gemara introduces a new idea here, and that is Afilu Tema Rabbanan, that all you have is three meals on Shabbos. So Eibazai, 16 meals, right? So what do you have? So you have 12 meals during the week and 3 meals on Shabbos, that is 15. So why is there an extra meal? Dol chada li'orchi yuparchi. That you assume that the woman has visitors, has guests, so she's given, and it's not a very generous entertainment allowance per se, but there's one meal that is set aside in case somebody shows up to have lunch with her. So the Gemara says, well, once you're introducing orchi yuparchi, you know, guests that come and go, we could even go back to Rav Shimon, because the problem is, according to Rav Shimon, it's 18 meals. Now, that seems to be quite a lot, but maybe Rav Shimon is more generous in the entertainment allowance. And therefore, we could say like this, the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, that there are three meals on Shabbos, so you have 15 meals, so three meals were set aside for Orchi Yuparchi, right? That's how you get 18. And if Rabbi Shimon holds like Rav Chitka, so altogether you need 12 before you need 16 meals, then the two meals are going to be Liarchi Uparchi. Dal Tarti Liarchi Uparchi. Okay, so therefore, the Gemara is basically saying that.
Now we end up like Rav Shimon.
Well, it could be. It's a filu tema Rabbi Shimon. That now, once you introduce Orchi Uparchi, then you can go with Rabbi Shimon. So no matter how many meals, you could always chuck anything more than you need to Orchi Uparchi as some type of entertainment allowance. Okay. Now, the Mishnah then said that two kabim is the shear if you are giving chitin. But if you are giving sa'orim, you have to double it to four kavim, and on that Rav Yaisi said that only applies in Edom, the land of Esav, again that's around the Sinai and the like. So the Gemara wants to know what that even means. What do you mean? It would be Edom, who? The Achlin Saorim? They only eat Saorim in Edom? B'kula Yalma lo Achli? I mean, what does he mean? So Hachi Kiyamar, Lai Pasak Saorim Kiflayim B'chitim. In other words, Avada Sa'irim is an acceptable substitute, but in Edom, the Sa'irim were especially inferior, so you needed double the Chitim to have the same. I'm not sure exactly what this means, because if you're talking about a measure of flour, then I don't understand. I mean, if it's two, it's two, but it must be from the raw grain. But that seems to contradict the Gemara, because the Gemara was going with the measure of flour. So I'm not sure what it means, because the barley was inferior. I mean, kav is a volume measurement. So if you have two kavim of barley, you have the same volume as two kavim of wheat. So it's not clear to me how the inferior nature of the sa'orim would be relevant on a pure volume measurement. Unless it's a nutritional value analysis, which is not
an equivalent.
Yeah, it's the same volume. I mean, it's the same volume. So,
it's what the volume would be if what you need to produce.
No, I understand, but that would make sense if the Mishnah, for example, would be talking about the raw grain. So you could say the sorghum has more wastage and whatever it is. But if we're talking about the flour, so you've given her that volume of flour. So what is Shaykh to say that it's ra'os, the sorghum are ra'os, and you have to give double?
Doesn't it more say also in other places that sorghum are more filling than chita, that if they had somebody that was incarcerated and they wanted to...
Well, it blows up. Yeah, it blows up in the stomach. Yeah, but that would suggest for carrot. That would suggest give less. Yeah, I'm not sure what the pshat is. Now, it might be nutritional value, but it's unlikely. Chazal usually did not speak in terms of nutrition. So I'm not sure. The pshat, I'll try to check it. Okay. And Sauron Adumiyais are rising. Okay. Now we're going to discuss the one thing that somebody even asked us yesterday. The one thing that's omitted from the list. The woman is given beans and oil and flour. First of all, you'll notice there is no meat or fish that's given, and that's because Oni Shebi Yisrael couldn't afford that. But it mentions that there's no wine. V'ivo yayin l'ketani. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that she's given some allowance for wine? So the omission is Miseyele l'Rabbi Elazar. This perhaps is a proof to what Rabbi Elazar says. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ein Paiskin Yeinais Leisha. Now, this is not talking about exactly this case. This is talking about an almana. When a woman is an almana, she's entitled to, until she collects her ksuba, she's entitled to mizainais from the estate of her husband. In fact, it would not be wise for a woman to collect her ksuba, because once she collects her ksuba, she terminates her right to mizainus. This way, she gets mizainus until she's ready to remarry. And when she remarries and the mizonos gets terminated, then she files a claim for her ksuba. So it mentions that in her claim of mizainus, we don't give her wine. And the Gemara is drawing an analogy. The same way we don't give an almana mizainus, wine, we will not give wine when he's mashra al yedei shalish. The Gemara is drawing an analogy there. V'im taimar, so maybe you'll ask Akasha, how can I say ein paiskin yenis leisha? The pasuk says eilcha acharei mahavai nosnei lachmiu meimai simriu pishti shamni v'shikuyoi. Again, this is the Navi Hosea that is describing the corrupt ways of the Jewish people in going after a foreign husband. The Avodah Zarah is like a foreign husband. I will go after my lover who gives me bread and water and wool and linen and oil and strong drink. First of all, the kasha itself is very difficult because this is not talking about a husband. This is talking about a person you're having an affair with. So if anything, maybe it's a rai, you shouldn't do it. But the Gemara says, but it's mashma. A woman expects shikuyai, strong drink. The answer is, we're going to reinterpret it. Shikuyai does not mean drink, but it means devarim shoisha mishto kekes aleyim, something that a woman strongly yearns, umayniu tachshitin, adornments, jewelry or adornments. In other words, it's not mashka. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Darish Rabbi Yehuda ish kfar gaviria, Rav Yehuda from the village of Gaviria, V'amrila ish kvar nafor choyel minayim. We have a little bit of a remez. She'ain poskin yeinus lisha, that it's not proper for a woman to get an allotment of wine because it causes a nus and a lack of tznius. She'namar v'tokam chana acharei ochla b'shilo v'acharei shaso. Right, this is when Chana went to pray. So it says they were Eila Regel and Shiloh. Chana got up acharei achla. Achla is in the feminine. Achla, in Shiloh. The acharei shaso. Now shaso is an infinitive. That doesn't mean after she drank. Acharei shaso, after there was drinking. So there's a diuk. Shaso, which is Lashon, could be read as if it's shasa, below shasas. So, therefore, the remez is, the pasuk goes out of its way to emphasize there was drinking, but she did not drink. And in fact, Vayteran, Eli thought she was a shikova, and she was not. But then the Gemara says, well, wait a second. If you're medayik from the word he drank, that she didn't drink, then be medayik from the word she ate, that her Elkanah didn't eat, which certainly is not the case. Elamiyata, ochlov lo achal. The answer is no. We're not being medayik from the feminine, not the masculine, and from the masculine, not the feminine. We're being medayik the change of language. If the sentence begins that she got up after she ate, why do you change the gender in the phrase drinking if not to communicate that she did not drink? And that is anan hachanami anan midishani kra b'dibure koamrinan michtei bigavo kaasek. We are talking about her, the asi, and going on. My taima shani. Why do you change from mikeva to zohar? Shema mina shasa velo shasas. Okay. Now meisvei. So now we have a kasha from a braisa. So you're telling me an almana or a woman al yidei shalish does not get wine. But there's a braisa that says she does. It says, Regila, if she habitually drank wine in her husband's home, Naisnimla, we give her wine. So it says we give her. So the Gemara's answer is, you're right, Regila Shaini. If the custom in the home was that she drank wine on a regular basis, so she gets used to it, right? Just like little kids in the Mediterranean, in France, whatever it is, they drink wine at every meal, so they're used to it. It does not affect them the same way. Maybe in Russia that would include vodka. Okay. Diyamar Rav Chinina Bar Kahana Mar Shmuel. Now, even then, that doesn't mean she gets unlimited, but it says, Regila, if a woman is Regila, she was Regila, to drink wine with her husband, Nosnim La Kos Echad, we give her an allowance of one cup a week. But then it says, She'ena Regila, if she's not used to it, Nosnim La Shnei Kaises, we give her two cups. So the Gemara says right away, wait a second, that doesn't make sense at all. You're telling me for a woman that's not Regila, we give her more? My Ki Amar. So Amar Abaya, totally reformulates this braisa. Hachi Ki Amar. Regila b'fnei baila shnei kosos. If she used to drink, let's say, two cups. Now again, whatever this shear is, this could be two cups a day, two cups a meal, two cups a week. Whatever the shear that she was regil with her husband, when she's not with her husband, either because she's an almana or because it's ayidei shalish, we have it. It's 50%. If she's used to two, then shalom b'fnei baila, we give her kos echad, one. Ein regila b'fnei baila la kos echad. If she was only used to one, shalom b'fnei baila, ein naisnim la kol echad. All right, it's very difficult to fit this into the braisa. The braisa, apparently, we're changing the lashon here. But essentially, this is our basic teretz, that if she was regila with two or more, we have it. But if she was only regila with one, that's not really called a regila. So let's say she only had kiddush Friday night, we would not give it to her. Now, l'chor, it's a little difficult, so how is she supposed to make? So it depends. If the husband is ocheles me'erev Shabbos, the husband makes kiddush. But if you say ocheles is tashmish, are we saying that she's supposed to make kiddush on bread? Is that really the cheshbon here? Or maybe for tzorich mitzvah, that's a different cheshbon, and we're not excluding them. Okay. Ibai Sema, or another interpretation of the Braisa is, Regila, if she's Regila, we give her a wine allowance, but not for alcohol consumption, but for cooking. In other words, we're going back that we do not give any, and of course, what a woman does with food money, you know, nobody knows, you never know, but we do not cheshbon in any allowance for alcoholic consumption, but when it says if she's used to drinking, we give her something, that doesn't mean we give her something for her to use for drink, but nosnim la mitzike kedera, we give it to her for cooking. Right? People cook with wine, and the alcohol gets evaporated, etc. Now, I'm not sure what this means. If you actually give her the wine, how do you know what she's going to do with it? But it says that you give it to her for cooking. So regila does not mean she's used to drinking, but if she's used to cooking with wine, you give her something, just like you give her oil, you give her the cooking wine. Of course, I know that the cooking wine sometimes is, I don't know if that was true then, but you know, there's sometimes it's an inferior grade. There are actually grades you can actually buy, you know, not an alcoholic thing. It's not really drinking wine, it's just suitable only for cooking. The Amar Rabbi Yom Rav Yechanan, Maise beKalbasa Shulatima Megernik. Now we had, this is the second rich guy. We had Kalba Sabua, that was Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law, and the other of the three Ashirim of Yerushalayim was a man called Nakdimon Ben Gurion, not related to David Ben Gurion, and Shepaskula Chachamim Sasayim Yayin Letzike Kedera. The Erev Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos. She did a lot of cooking with wine. And when she was an almana, when she was widowed, they gave her an allowance of 2 saw of wine, just to add to the food, every week, from Erev Shabbos to the next Erev Shabbos. And Amar Amra Lahen, and she said to the Chachamim, who determined this, she gave them a bracha. Kach tifseku livnei secha. May you be zocha to provide this allowance to your daughters, because she came from such a wealthy family, and she was used to this, and this is why this was the standard. He says, may you be zocha to have such wealth that you can give this to your daughters.
This wasn't a curse.
Well, that's what the Gemara says. However, Tana Shomeris Yavim Haisav Lo Anu Achra Amen. They did not answer Amen. She gave a bracha because she was just focusing on the tremendous wine. But in point of fact, what had happened was she was an almana. Her husband died without children. She fell the Yibam. So when she says, may this happen to you, to your daughters, they did not say Amen. They did not consider any of this a bracha. For really two separate reasons. It's not a bracha because she's an almana, and it's not a bracha because she didn't have children and she's a kuka to a yavam who she may not want to marry, etc. Okay. Tana, we learn to make brisa that even when a woman is married, kos echad yafa leisha, one cup of wine in a meal might be nice, it might make the woman relaxed. Shnayim nivolhu, two already is potentially disgusting. Shalaisha tevas papah, three already, she may be so out of it that she may demand tashmish bepeh. She may openly ask for tashmish, which is not a proper thing. It's supposed to be a remez, etc. And arba, if it's already four, afilu chamor tevas b'shuk. She'll be so excited, she'll be tevea chamor for tashmish. This is an old yeshivish joke in Volozhin where it's recorded in the books of Volozhin that when one of the yeshiva boys didn't pay their innkeeper, so the innkeeper said, you know, you owe money. So he says, I see you must have had 3 kaisas because you're toveya b'peh. So he says, no, I had 4 kaisas. I'm toveya chamor b'shuk. He said, okay. So even the innkeepers, the wagon drivers, the balagolas in Volozhin were big talmidei chachamim. They knew all these gemaras. Okay. So now the Gemara says an interesting thing. The pashtus of the brisa we just read seems to be talking about she's living with her husband, and even within a marriage, it's not proper to have more than 1 cup of wine per meal. And yet, Amar Rava, Lai Shanu Ela She'ein Baila Ima. This is talking about her husband is not with her. Now, this could either mean she's an almana. Although the Chari, it's fair, because with Malmana, we said we don't even give her 1 cup unless she's Regila. Or it could mean Ayidei Shalish, or it could just mean he's out of town. That when he's out of town, she should not have more than 1 cup of wine. Avol Baila Ima, but Baila Ima, less Lamba, she could drink as much as she wants. I'm sorry, maybe I'm misinterpreting what Rava is going on. Amar Rava, is he going on this last Brisa? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So Rava basically, now the question is this though, the question is, it's very difficult. Rava is saying the Brisa is talking about the husband is not there. So what is Tevas Bepeh? Right? The Mishnah says that 1 is okay, 2 is Nivol, getting a little too loose, the 3rd is she's Taiveya Bepeh. If the husband is not there, then what is she doing? Tovei adultery? Who is she being Tovei Bepeh? A man other than her husband? That's pretty bad. Maybe that's what it would mean. In other words, the problem is not Teveya the husband, the problem is Teveya somebody else. But if that's the case, we wouldn't use the word Teveya Bepeh, because in other words, with the husband, if she's Marames, that's fine, but to be Marames to another man is equally bad. So that's difficult. But Rava wants to say, with the husband, she could drink as much as she wants. Ay, frek de Gemara. But what do you mean? The original raya that we brought, that drinking wine is not good for a woman, is from the fact that Chana didn't drink in Shiloh, but Chana was with her husband. V'ha Chana debaila ima havoi. So now we answer, Achsonoi shiny. So maybe that's what Rava means. When Rava said if she's with her husband, drinking wine is okay, he meant when they're at home. But when they are traveling in someone else's house or in a hotel or whatever it is, they're an achsanoi, then it is not okay, because an achsanoi is not supposed to have tashmish hamita, etc., and therefore tovas bepeh and drinking could lead to something improper. And that's why the chana didn't drink. The Amar Rav Huna, minayin liachsanoi she'asur b'tashmish hamita shenemar. We talk a learn from Shmuel itself, the book of Shmuel, because they were in Shiloh, and it says, V'yashkimu baboker v'yishtachlof ne'ashem. They got up in the morning, and they bowed down to the Shekhinah. V'yashuvu v'yavayu el besam haramasa. They returned home after Eli's bracha to Ramah. V'yada Elkana ischana ishtei. And Elkana was with his wife. Right, we read this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Vayiskareha Hashem, and Hashem remembered her. But the diuk is very strong that they did not have intercourse until they returned home. Hashtohin, only now, yes? Mi kara lai. Okay, again, there are different questions about this. What is the din of an achsanoi exactly? Does it apply? The truth of the matter is, in contemporary living conditions, it may not apply at all. Because some say that an achsanoi that has their own designated room, which today would obviously be the case, your own bedroom, that's not usher, that's considered to be your bias, and this is only referring to where you're sleeping with other people in the same room. So apparently in the olden days,
dormitories.
Right, that was sometimes the case, even with men and women. So Tashma Shemitah is forbidden because you're doing it publicly. So one has to ask a shayla, you know, there are different siurim of achsanoi that would be permitted today. Okay, so now the Gemara is a very strange maisa. I don't have a full shot in this maisa, but let's see the maisa. Chaima divisu the Abaya. Chaima was Abaya's wife, and Chaima became widowed when Abaya died. Asoi lakame de Rava. She went before Rava, and she, as an almana, she wanted Rava, and Rava was Abaya's closest friend, to be the paisek to determine what her mezainah should be against the estate. And by the way, remember, the Mishnah's rules are not relevant, because the Mishnah's rules are minimal rules for an ani. But if one is not a total ani, there has to be a psak as to what her mezainahs are. Amrelei, she said to Rava, psaikli mezaini, give me mezainahs, meaning determine what my claim is against the estate. Pasakla. She then said, psaikli chamra, you forgot the wine. Add an allowance for wine. Amrelei, Rava said to her, yadayne bei benachmeni. Right? Abaya was a yasam, and Abaya was raised by Rabba bar Nachmeni. That was his adopted father. And so he's called Nachmeni, the child of Nachmeni. I know Abaya, the lo havi shasi chamra. He himself didn't drink wine, so I know that you certainly didn't have wine when you were with him. So I'm not going to give it to you now. Amrelei, she said, chaye demar. I swear by the life of the master, you tavi mashkilei b'shufrasi ki hai. He used to give me wine in goblets, and she was gesturing as big as this. He would give me wine in big goblets. So I'll swear that I got wine. So you have to give it to me. I'm ragel in it. So Bahadi dikam machvile, when she was showing him the size of the goblet with her hands, igle dara. So her sleeve, right? She lifted up her arm, so her sleeve revealed part of her arm. And what happened was, nafal nahayre v'beidina. This is an expression. It's as if light flooded the basin, meaning she was so beautiful that the exposure of a little bit of her arm made everything much brighter and light. Come Rava. Rava ended the court proceeding immediately. Ol lebeisa, he went home. Tava lebas Rav Chisda. Rava married the daughter of Rav Chisda. And he was to be, Rava was sexually aroused, and he wanted to only think of his wife. So he had tashmish with his wife in the daytime. So Amrelei Bas Rav Chisda, she was a little surprised, so she asked him, Man Havi Nerida, what happened in Basin today? Omar La, Chayma, or who was in Basin today? So he said to her, Choma Divisu the Abaya. Choma, who was Abaya's widow, was there. So she understood what had happened here. Nafka Abasra, she went to get Choma. Machtale Bukulpe Deshira. She hit Choma on the head with a bundle of Shirayim. She started like hitting her. Ad the Afkile Bikula Mechusa. She kicked her out of the whole city of Mechusa. That was her, said, get out of here. Don't beat her anymore, because you're going to be a negative effect on our husbands. Amrala, she said to Chaima, Katlis Lach Tilseth. The Abaya was her third husband. She had been married twice, and then she married Abaya. Three of her husbands had died. Now we know there is a concept, a machlek is a two or three, but katlonis, that if three husbands died and it's unexplained, we don't have a particular reason, whatever it is, the mazel is such that she's gairem misa. So Bas Rav Chista is telling her, you're a katlonis, Abaya is number three. Now you want to marry other people, perhaps my husband, and kill him as well? Get out of here. Katlulach klasa, v'yasas l'miktal acharin. Okay, so again, it's a strange maisa. Then the Gemara gives another maisa. Zivisu de Rav Yosef, Bere de Rava, the wife of Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, right? So this is the wife of Rava's grandson. I'm sorry, Rava's daughter, right? Zivisu de Rav Yosef, Bere de Rava. Asai lakamei de Rav Nefemia, Bere de Rav Yosef. As an almana, Amra leif, psychli mezaine, give me mezaines, pasakla. She then said, "Psychli chamra, pasakla." He did give her wine because that's what she was used to. Amar la, yadayna behu b'vnei mechuzah deshasu chamra. He told her that I know that in Mechuzah women commonly drink wine with their husbands, and therefore you're entitled to it. Third case. Divisa de Rav Yosef, Bray de Rav Menashe, Mitzvil, Asoy, Latame de Rav Yosef, only Psokli Mezaine, Pasakla, Psokli Chamra, Pasakla. She then said, Psokli Shiroi. Give me a clothing allowance, because that's Nichlal in Mezonos. Her clothing and Shiroi means fine silken clothing. So Omar La, which means give me enough money so I could buy Shirayim. Amar la shiroi lama. You need silk clothing? What do you need silk clothing? So Amar le lach ulachavrach ulachavrurach. For you and your friends and the friends, meaning I want to remarry someday, and this is what is necessary for me to be attractive, and this was her claim. Now it doesn't say she got that, right? It doesn't say that, but her taina was she should be entitled to clothing that would make her attractive for a shidduch. Okay.
Well, in the first case, it didn't say what happened, whether she got the wine.
No, the first case, it does say.
She uncovered her...
Oh, in the Abaya's case. Yeah, in the Abaya's case, it doesn't say. You're right. In the Abaya's case, it does not say. And in the second case, in Mechuzah, it says, yeah.
Why is
the
Torah
so
concerned about women drinking wine and not men drinking wine?
It is a good question. I think the assumption... of course, that could be a very bad thing as well. But the assumption is that if the woman, in other words, we're not chayshish chas v'shalom that a man is going to rape a woman. We're not afraid of that. But if the woman is vulnerable, she could be enticed. So the concept is, if the woman is strong enough and she says no to the man is not going to go further. So the man getting drunk. So what's going to happen? He's going to proposition a woman improperly, but she'll say no. But a woman might be noach lehispatos that way. But you're right. I mean, alibi diemes. When the Gemara says haraya saita bekulkula, you see the wages of yazir asminan. That's going on a man as well. A man. It's like it's in the masculine. Yazir asminanayai. Yeah. Okay. Now, then the Mishnah says that among the things you have to give your wife, Ayidei Shalish, even if you're at the absolute poverty level, is you give her a bed, umafis and machzalis, and a different types of mats. So the Gemara says, mafis and machzalis lamali, lamala, the yavla, because a bed, again, if you're talking about rock-bottom poverty, so a bed could serve multiple functions. The bed can be where you sleep on, and the bed could be the working surface, so the bed could be the where you sit when you eat. So why do you have to give her the mafes and the machzelas and the bed? So I'm
what
is
those, machzelas?
Well, mafes and machzelas are mats. A mafes is a softer mat, a machzelas is a harder mat. And the purpose of a mat is a working surface. You could serve the meals on a mat, you could sit on the mat, etc. So the Gemara is asking that if you're really rock-bottom poverty, then a bed could be all those things, right? So if we're talking about the most minimal list that a guy could get away with, why does he have to supply the mats and the bed in that case? So, Lamalei D'Yayla, so Amar Rav Chisda, you're right, but we're talking about Bi'asra D'Nehigi D'Malu Poria Bechavle, that beds did not have mattresses. Beds simply had ropes stretched across a frame, and to tell the woman to sleep on top of ropes would be intolerable because the ropes scratch the skin. So if you're not going to give her a mattress, l'chol ha'pachot, you give her a mat that can be, really we're talking about real poverty here, a mat on top of the bed because the ropes would scratch her. That is Asra D'Nehigi D'Malu Poria B'Chavle. The bed frame is stretched with ropes. D'Mavgir Lo, that would scratch her skin. And Tana Rabbana. And indeed, the Braisa says, when you give her a bed, Ein Nosnim Lo Kar V'Kesis. You do not have to give her a mattress and a pillow. Meaning if you're that poor. And Mishum Rabbi Nosanam, however, but he says differently than the Mishnah. He says, Nosnim la karva kesa. Now the Gemara asks the Kasha, what is this machlok is talking about? Heichidami. Idi orcha, if it was her derech that when she was with him, she had a mattress, then she should be entitled to it now. My time in the Tanakama. Idi lav orcha, if when she was married with him, she didn't have a mattress, then why would Rav Nosan say she gets it now? My time is Rabbi Nosan. The answer is, Leit Tzericha, that this machlokas is talking about an unusual case. Urche didei, v'lav urche didei. In his family, right, you have madregas of impoverished people. In his family, they sleep on mattresses, but she comes from a family where they didn't sleep on a mattress. So, obviously, as long as they're married, she's Ayla Imai. She goes up with him. But Tanakama Savar, Omar Loa, since the only reason you have a mattress is because you're married to me, and I'm only going to be with you Friday night, so every Friday night I'll bring the mattress that you can sleep on, and when I'm away I can take it with me so I can use it. Because intrinsically, if you're not rugged in it, it's only because of me, so I'll bring it. Ki azilna, when I leave, shaklina lahu, v'chi asina, when I come, my sino lehu badot. Now, what does Rabbi Nosson say? Rabbi Nosson says that doesn't work. Omrelei zimn de misrami ben ashmashes. What if you're running late Friday afternoon? Therefore, you're only going to make it right before Shabbos. Velo matzis maisi lehu. You're not going to bring your mattress because you can't carry so close to Shabbos. So what's going to happen? Shabbos lehuzi. You'll take my mat. Umagnously al arag, will put me on the floor. Meaning she has the right to say, if I'm entitled to a mattress when you're with me, then I needed to have it here all the time because there are times that you might not be able to bring. Okay. Now then you give her a kippah, a covering for her head. Amar leva papa labaya.
But in other words, we don't say that she's entitled to it. There's no half a minute that she's entitled to it all the time.
Yeah, well, apparently that's correct, because even according to the Gemara's explanation, now this is talking about where it's lav orcha, meaning in her family they didn't have it.
Right.
If it was orcha in her family, then she would be entitled to it all the time. Oh. Yeah, but if it's not orcha, she's not entitled to it, except for her taina, that if you don't leave it here, you might not be able to bring it sometimes.
But just being married to him doesn't give her the right to have it all the time.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because that implies that Ayla Imai is only when they're together.
Imo, right.
And yet we had other rayas from Almana that that's not the case, because that would indicate an Almana wouldn't have that claim.
Correct.
Yeah, the assignment wouldn't have to give it to him. That's very true. I mean, from the Gemara here, it's Klor Mashma that the almana who comes from a family where they didn't have a mattress would not be able to claim a mattress from the yisayman. Although I think the halacha is beferish not that way, but that's part of the Gemara. That's what's not. Yeah. So now the question the Gemara is asking is it's not reproduced here because it's the two dots are the wrong excerpt of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says he has to give her new shoes. Right, what was the lesson? We're comparing shoes and clothing. It says you have to give her min alayim, mi moed lamoed. Every Yom Tov, a new pair of shoes. But clothing is a once a year allowance. So the kasha is, the Gemara's going to ask, well, wait a second. Is she supposed to walk around naked? Because if you're assuming that you need new shoes every Yom Tov, then the assumption is the clothing wears out as well. So are you giving her shoes to walk around naked? And the Gemara will explain why shoes are different than clothing. Hai Tana Shaliach Artoloi Barami Misane. Shaliach does not mean the word shaliach. Rashi points out, shaliach is to be stripped of your garments. Is she stripped naked, walking around in shoes? Meaning, why are you giving her shoes more often than you're giving her clothing? The answer is, Omar Lei, Tana B'makam Harim Koi. The Mishnah is referring to a woman that is living in a mountainous, rocky, stony area. She needs three pairs of shoes a year. And Einachinami, that doesn't correlate with Yom Tov. In other words, she needs three pairs of shoes a year. Since she needs three pairs of shoes a year, we time it with Yom Tov, because you might as well kill two birds with one stone and be Makayim Simchas Yom Tov. But the necessity is three pairs of shoes, which do not apply to clothing. Clothing will not, frankly, wear away the same way shoes. What is that guy? Did you read about this guy in Detroit, this poor guy that he couldn't afford a car, so he would walk 21 miles a day to work? Unbelievable. But
he got money.
Yeah, now he's rich. Now he got a lot of money. Of course, I heard about another guy the next week who walked 38 miles. I can't even imagine this right now. But he said his major expense is going through shoes. So you need the shoes. Okay. V'adav orche tamash milan. And as an aside, the Mishnah is teaching me that if I have to give you three pairs of shoes a year, nasvinu nehalei b'moed, I should give it in honor of Yom Tov, ki heichi dinahavei la simcha b'gavayu, that he should have the joy of Yom Tov. Now, kelim shel chamishim zuz, the clothing allowance is 50 zuz per year. So Omer Abaya, chamishim zuz pshitin. Remember we talked yesterday about there is a Zuz Tsuri and a Zuz Medina. Zuz Medina is only 1/8. So the 50 Zuzim are the 50 lower Zuzim, not the 8 times more than that. Mimai, midiktani, because the Mishnah is talking about a poor person. Medvar mamurim, biani shebi Yisrael. Alo b'mechubad ha-kolafi chavado. So the Mishnah is talking about an ani. But if 50 zuzim meant 50 zuzim tsuri, that is a considerable amount of money that the basic ani could not afford. V'isal gadaitach, chamishim zuz mamish, ani, chamishim zuz minale, Elishma Mina, that we're talking about, Chamishim, Zuze, Pshite, which is called Sela Medina. One thing, we'll stop here. The one thing that I don't follow here is that with these shoes, like the woman in a mountainous area needs three pairs of shoes a year. So you time it with Yom Tov, although Yom Tov doesn't correlate. And Pesach v'Shavuos doesn't mean she's used up. But the clothing, it doesn't time it that way. In other words, if the idea is give it on Yom Tov for Simchas Yom Tov, why don't you say the same thing with clothing? And yet the Mishnah does not make the point. The only point the Mishnah makes is, well, maybe because you want to give her new clothing. Okay, so that's really the problem. The new clothing you have to give her during the winter months, because in the summer it's too hot. But even then, so you could say the winter, is there a winter chag? The winter chag would be, there actually is no redol that is technically in your Mosai Kishanim. That might be the answer. because Sukkot, if the Yemaisa Geshamim begins in Cheshvan and it ends in Nisan, so in fact none of the Shalosh Regalim are in Yemaisa Geshamim. Yeah, so since the Mishnah insists that the clothing be given to your B'mais HaGeshamim, so Mimela, it cannot correlate it to the Yom Tov. Now, if you're rich enough, you give her new clothing anyway for Simchas Yom Tov. But if this is all you're going to be able to do, it's very meduyik why it's only the shoes that you give for the Yom Tovim and not the Begadim themselves. Okay.